Good morning, everybody. My name is Steph Schleyer. I'm the Director of Family Ministry. And I wonder, have you guys ever had some crazy, creative, big idea in your head? Like June is the main character in our movie Wonderland today. And she has created this amazing, super imaginative amusement park in her room. And she has decided that it needs to just move forward, and she's going to create it in real life. And then we have this whole scene that we just watched. And I love how June is just completely positive and continues to think, oh, this is absolutely going to work out. And even if it doesn't, it was still awesome. I think it's just inspiring to us. And I just wonder, have you guys ever had these big, crazy, imaginative ideas in your own head? You know, do you have these ideas like maybe I'm going to plan the most perfect house and I'm going to design it and build it and it's going to be amazing? Or maybe you think, you know what, I really want to write a book, or I'm going to start a blog, or I'm going to build a robot that's going to change the world, right? I think we are made to have these great creative ideas. Now, when I was like in around fifth or sixth grade, I had a lot of creative, crazy ideas myself. Now, one was I tried to convince my dad that he needed to quit his job and we were going to open up an aquarium store, like a fish store that sold, an aquarium store that sold exotic fish. I was super into it. I had all the plans in my head. Thankfully, my parents were smarter than that, and they put the kibosh right on that and said no. So I moved on to, I think I should drive a race car. And then I went even further to like, oh no, I need to fly airplanes, right? I had all these big ideas in my head. Thankfully, I had a teacher that saw some of these creative ideas in me, and she's like, no, you know who you are? You're a writer. I see that in you. I think you need to write a story. I'm like, okay, cool, I'm gonna write a story. So I wrote this story about ants. I don't know, it was in my head, right? So I wrote this story about ants, and where I grew up, the house was on a hill, right? So our house up here, we had this nice, big, long, grassy hill, and in my story, I imagined underneath the house was this giant bug city. Right? It's this huge city, and we had these traveling ants that came from another place, and they have to get all the way up the hill to the bug city, right? So that's their thing, and I have all these ideas in my head, and the story is about them and all their trials and tribulations trying to get up to the top of the hill, and they have to do it in a week because every week this giant monster comes by and just tears everything up, which was my dad mowing the grass, right? So that's how this whole thing went. And I was really excited and into my story. My teacher really liked my story. And she's like, yeah, keep going, keep writing, keep, you know, adding all these details to it. So that, you know, that was something that was big for me when I was younger. And I believe that this is true for all of us. I believe that we have these creative, big ideas in our minds because God created us this way. He created us to be unique and amazing and awesome. In the Bible, it actually says that he created us to be his masterpiece, okay? In Ephesians 4:10, it says it like this. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. He calls us his masterpiece, and he created us on purpose with a purpose. So what stops us from following through with these big creative ideas that we have? What do you guys think? What stops us from following through on these big ideas? Fear's a big one, for sure. What else? Failure. Yep, failure. We don't want to fail. Faith. Good. Resources, we feel like we don't have the resources, the time, the money. Somebody told me last night, age. I thought that was a good one too. You know, we think we're too old or we're too young to make it happen. To finish off my story about the ants, you know, when I got to the end of creating this story that I liked very much, my teacher said, okay, let's finish it off by illustrating your story. Draw your picture. Draw some pictures that go along with the story that you've created. And, you know, I'm not a trained artist. I don't have any experience in this, so I'm thinking, cool. So I draw some really amazing stick figures of these little ants and house and whatever, but I feel great about it. I even have them on like those overhead projector sheets, you know, because I'm old. So I have that, and I'm ready to present it to my class with the story and my pictures and the whole thing. And then I do this thing. I look at the kid next to me, and you know what he's gifted in? Drawing. And I look at his art, and I'm like, oh no. My art is terrible. My pictures are awful. There's no way I can do this. I compare myself to what he's done, and it comes to a screeching halt. And all of a sudden, I think, I'm not good enough. This is definitely not good enough. And I stop pursuing my creative ideas. I think this happens to us a lot when we compare ourselves too much to other people. And that's the thing that I want to talk most about today. So I think there are several possible reasons why that we stop doing this, and comparison is one of the biggest ones. Now, I think it's easy for us to compare ourselves almost nonstop because we have access to everybody's lives all the time, right? With social media now, we post everything about our lives on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat. And most of the time, it's because we want to celebrate something great that's happening in our life, right? Or maybe we want to post about something awesome that's happening in our job. Or maybe we want to post about something great that our kid has done. Right? We love to do that. And we also want to post about things that, you know, like maybe my job is going good, or look how great my house is, or look how good I look. You know, there's even a term for it, the whole selfie, right? And now, that's not all the things that we post, and I get that, but I think it's a lot of what we post. And because of that, the pressure to look a certain way on social media is definitely real. I learned in my high school girls small group a year or two ago. Now I know we say what happens in small group stays in small group. And I want you to know that this is a collective they. They were teaching me. It's not just about one person. So it's okay that I'm gonna say this. Now, we were talking about social media and they tell me that they all have two accounts. I'm like, two accounts? Why in the world would you have two accounts? It's hard enough to keep up with one. They're like, oh no, Miss Stephanie, you need two accounts. One account is your real account, and one account's your fake account. I'm like, what does that mean? I don't understand. So they explained to me the real account. The real account is the way that you want to be portrayed on social media. It might take you 50 pictures of the same thing to get the perfect shot of what you want to post. And then it takes you an exorbitant amount of time to come up with the perfect caption to go with it, right? And then you finally decide it's perfect and you post it and then you wait. And if it doesn't get the right amount of likes in a certain amount of time, you take that post down because you don't want to look like a loser. This blew my mind. I don't understand this at all. So then I say, okay, so what's your fake account then? And they go, okay, so your fake account, that's all my real friends. Those are the people I know already like me. And we just post whatever. You know, it's just Snapchats of our lives. And sometimes we have a caption, sometimes we don't. It's no big deal. So my mind is blown, and I'm trying to think this through. I'm trying to grasp it all. And I try to explain to them. I said, do you girls realize what you're saying is that your real account is the fake you and the fake account is the real you? And they're like, oh yeah, I guess so. Guys, the pressure to be and look a certain way on social media is so real. Even I feel it, and I don't engage that much on social media, but you know, I do start to feel this pressure when I go and I see all these families doing things like, oh yes, we just got back from a vacation in Italy with my family, and oh look, my kid is, you know, accepted into this prestigious honor program, and oh look at my new remodeled living room, how great it is, or look at all these great things that I'm doing to make a difference in the world. All of a sudden, the things 2 minutes ago that made me completely happy and satisfied in my life are no longer good enough. And then I start to feel like I'm not good enough. This is what happens when we spend too much time comparing. Now, let me ask you another question. How many of you will use, like, scroll through your social media to relax right before, you know, you go to bed? Or maybe first thing in the morning to, like, get what's happening. Right? I do. It's crazy. It makes me crazy that I do it. Why do we do this? Why do we constantly compare ourselves to others and then end up thinking that this one path is the unique, awesome path to happiness and success? And if we're not on it, then somehow we are not good enough. I believe there's a quote from Theodore Roosevelt that I really like. It's called, what he says is, comparison is the thief of joy. And I really believe this to be true. When we constantly are comparing ourselves to others, I think that we can cause a lot of damage to ourselves. These are some of the things I think that happen. One is lack of joy, right? When we constantly compare ourselves to other people, we're not as happy. We just lose joy. Another is self-esteem. I think we lower our self-esteem when we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people. We just don't feel as good about ourselves anymore. I think we also feel sadness, and we feel anxiety, and we feel depression. Now, I realize that anxiety and depression have actual clinical diagnoses, like this is a real thing, and that's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about the feeling that you get, the feeling of sadness, the feeling of anxiety, the feeling of depression when we're constantly comparing ourselves and then we feel less than somehow. This is another thing that I think it does. It makes us focus on what we don't have instead of on what we do have. When we compare ourselves too much, we start to focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. And when we do that, I believe this kind of darkness starts to come over our lives, and it puts God and how he fits into our life on the back burner, where he definitely does not belong. I want to go back. I'm going to jump back to the movie for a minute, and let's see how June is dealing with some darkness in her life. Now, June has, things haven't gone exactly the way that she wanted them to go. Her mother has gotten really sick, and she had to go away for some special medical treatments, and June is really struggling with that, and she's having a hard time, and there's a darkness that's taken over her life. So let's watch and see what that's like.
Hey, watch it! What happened to you guys? I think the word you're looking for is pathetic.
I didn't say that.
You didn't have to. So, you got a name haircut?
I'm June.
Hello, June. My name is Steve.
I know who you are.
You know who we are?
I don't think anybody still remembers.
Ow!
You guys are the wonder in Wonderland.
Or at least you were.
What happened to this place?
The darkness happened. It came when clockwork swings began to slow and brought
All
with
right,
it...
All right, bring it down, Gandalf.
Oh, right. Okay, here we go. It was a day, just like any other here in Wonderland, when the strangest thing happened. Clockwork swings. The heart of the park came to a dead stop. And that's when we first saw it. The darkness. It brought an evil that transformed the Wonder Chimp dolls into an army of chimpan zombies. Every day since, the chimpan zombies have waged war. tearing apart the park and feeding it piece by piece into the darkness, never to be seen again.
Hopefully we don't have any chimpanzee zombies in our life that is, you know, bringing this darkness. But I do think that when our situation isn't what we want it to be or what we think it should be, there's a couple of things that we tend to go towards, you know? I think it's very easy for us to run away. When things don't go the way we want or the way we should, it's easy for us to run away. It's also easy for us to quit, to just give up. And I also think that it's incredibly easy for us to isolate ourselves. Now in the movie, June ends up doing all of these things. She puts away her Wonderland, right? This whole creative amusement park that she's created in her room, kind of all over the house, because she can't do it with her mother anymore. She decides, I'm quitting, I'm out. And she puts all of that stuff away and says, I'm not going to play with that anymore. She decides that she's not going to play with her friends anymore. It's just too much. So her friends come over, and she's like, nope, I don't want to play today. And then she stops doing things that, you know, she likes to do. Her dad wants her to go to math camp because math is something that she loves. Some people love math. She decides to, and she's like, nope, I don't want to go. I'm not going to math camp. Now, and then she also has family and friends. She has family coming from out of town, and they bring her some new things to put into her Wonderland park, and she's like, get that out of here. I don't want anything to do with that. All these people are trying so hard with June. She's trying to run away. She's trying to quit. She's trying to isolate herself, and her friends are coming saying, June, come out and help us. We can't fix this robot. We really need your help. And she basically slams the door in her face. Nope, can't do that. Her family and friends come over and say, hey, we got this cool thing you can do with your imagination park and all that. She's like, nope, burn it, get it out of here, right? And her dad's like, oh, do this thing. I know you love math camp, let's go. And she goes to math camp and she runs away, right? All these people are trying to tell June, you are amazing and awesome and creative. And just because life isn't going the way that you think it should be going or that you thought it should be going, that doesn't change who you are. You are still awesome, amazing, creative person. But she just can't hear that. So she quits and she isolates herself and she runs away. And I think that it's pretty easy for us to do those things too. And I also think that there are a lot of really good examples of that in the Bible. There's a lot of characters in the Bible that have these things happening in their lives. And one of the most interesting ones to me is Moses, right? I love the story of Moses. Now, Moses was the guy who was put into a basket as a baby and then sent down the Nile River because the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, decided that all the Israelite baby boys should be killed. But the princess saves him, and he ends up growing up in the palace. And then when he's a little bit older, he decides, I need to go out and see what's happening with my people, the Israelites out there. And then he realizes how poorly they're being treated, how they've been oppressed and beaten and just really treated badly. And he gets so angry about it, he actually murders an Egyptian. And then he realizes, oh, now I'm in big trouble. So he runs away because he's afraid that he's going to get killed by Pharaoh. He ends up in this land called Midian, and he becomes a sheep herder, and he gets married, and he has kids, and he basically kind of forgets everything that's happening to his people in Egypt. Totally puts that on the back burner. And then God comes to him in a burning bush that doesn't burn up, and he says, Moses, I got a job for you. You are going to go back to Egypt, and you are going to call the people out of Egypt. You're going to set my people free from Pharaoh, set them free from slavery. And eventually he does that, and he goes to Egypt, and he puts in motion all the plagues, and then he leads the Israelites out of Egypt across the dry land when the sea separates. Super exciting story. If you've never read it, you absolutely need to. It's in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. Love this story. Really exciting. But there's a part of the story that I think we tend to gloss over or don't really even take much time to look at. And it's the conversation that Moses has with God when God is telling him, hey, you need to go to Egypt, set my people free. Moses goes, I don't think I'm the guy for this. I'm definitely not powerful enough to go against Pharaoh. And God goes, Moses, don't worry about it. I'm going to be with you the whole entire time. And then Moses goes, oh, but how are they going to know who you are? And God goes, don't worry about it, Moses. I'm going to be with you the whole entire time. And I will give you amazing signs and wonders. They'll know. And Moses goes, what if they don't believe me? And God comes right back and he says, Moses, I'll be with you every single step of the way. And I will give them signs and wonders. Let me tell you how amazing they're going to be. You're going to throw a stick to the ground and it's going to become a snake. And you're going to pick it back up and it'll be a stick again. You're going to have a healthy hand. You're going to put it inside your coat, bring it back out. It's going to be gross, disgusting, diseased hand. Put it back in, bring it out, and it'll be healed. And if that's not good enough, then we're going to take water from the Nile River and we're going to pour it on the ground and it's going to turn to blood. These are some pretty amazing signs. But you know what Moses says? I'm not so sure, God. I'm not sure I can do this. I don't think I'm the one. You know, I'm not a very good speaker. And God goes, Moses, I will be there with you every step of the way. I'm going to give you signs and wonders, and I will tell you everything to say. And Moses goes, Lord, send anyone but me. Can you imagine having this conversation with God? I wonder, as I'm thinking about this whole comparison thing, I'm wondering, who is Moses comparing himself to? That he thinks he's not good enough to do this? Like other shepherds? I don't know. Who is he comparing himself to? And then God says to me, you do this all the time. How many times do I give you this big, creative, awesome thing that I want you to go and do? And you go, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the ability to do this, God. I don't have the skill. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I'm not old enough. I'm too young. God tells me, I will be with you. I will give you everything you need. Don't worry about it. And I go, I'm not so sure. Can anybody relate to that? This brings me to my last point about the dangers of comparison. I believe that when we compare ourselves too much to other people, we forget who God made us to be. We forget that he made us on purpose and with a purpose. In Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Guys, God made you on purpose, and your life is unique to everyone else's. You are his masterpiece, and his masterpieces all look different. He doesn't want us to compare ourselves to each other. He wants us to pay attention to what he is doing in our lives. In Galatians 6, 4 and 5, he says this, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. When we compare ourselves to others and we start to think that no way am I good enough, it can easily slide on over into God's not with me, God's not big enough, and we forget who God made us to be and that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives that's unique to anyone else's. Let's jump back to the movie real quick, where one of the main characters in June's Wonderland Park, his name is Peanut. He's a monkey of some sort, and he kind of like runs the show in Wonderland, and he's forgotten who he's meant to be. Let's watch this clip.
Huh? Peanut?
Oh my gosh! Hey, Peanut!
Where did you...
What are you doing?
You're alive! I knew it!
Who are you?
I'm a friend of Greta and Boomer. Actually, everyone. They're gonna be so happy. Let's go find them!
No, come on, I lost them at Fireworks Falls.
Peanut, what happened to you?
What do you mean, what happened to me? The chimpanzombies had me. I was able to escape, and I made it up here.
And now you're...
And now I'm sorting the candy. It was a mess when I got here. Believe me. I had to put the blues with the blues and the greens with the greens.
If you're scared of the park...
I'm not scared of the park. It's just... It's safe in here.
But you're alone.
Where nothing can hurt me.
Well, you can't stay in here forever.
Says who? There's no rules for something like this.
Wait, I know how this works. You just wave your marker.
I wish it still worked that way.
But you're a Peanut. The Splendiferous.
Splendiferous. Yeah, I used to be.
All these amazing things in Wonderland, they came from you.
That is a lie. I was just the middleman. All the ideas, the inspiration, it came from...
A voice whispering in your ear. A woman's voice.
How do you know about that? I never told anyone.
It doesn't matter.
And not too long ago...
The sound of her voice, it just went away. And then the darkness took over.
I guess whoever she was, she forgot about me. I kept waiting. I kept hoping she would come back to help me fight against the darkness, but I just felt so...
alone.
Guys, it's so easy when we compare ourselves to others, we think we don't measure up, or our situation isn't turning out the way that we think it should be, to feel like we're alone, to feel like God's not with us. And that is not true. That is absolutely not true. God is always with you. He is always enough, and he has a meaning and a purpose for your life. And when we focus on what we don't have instead of on what we do have, it's so easy for us to miss out on what God has in store for us. I have a quick example of that. Have you guys ever heard of the game Pokemon? Right? Pretty popular game, been around a few years. Satoshi Tajiri was one of the original creators of the game Pokemon, okay? Satoshi Tajiri has autism. I don't know how much you guys know about autism, but it's pretty common for people with autism to have this amazing, like, genius-level ability to remember facts and details, right? Now, if Satoshi would have focused on all the things he didn't have because he has autism, and not focus on this amazing, incredible ability that he did have, he wouldn't have been able to create this game, Pokemon. When we compare ourselves with others, when we focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have, it's really easy to miss out on who God made you to be, on what your path is supposed to be, to realize that your path is unique to everyone else's, and that God is always with you. He will be there for you. He is enough. Guys, I want this for each and every one of you. I want you to remember that God made you a masterpiece. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Don't spend any more time focusing on what his plan or purpose is for anybody else or what their path looks like. I want you guys to remember this week that God made you on purpose. You are a masterpiece, and he has a unique, amazing plan for your life. We're going to watch this last clip where we're going to see how June finally discovers who she was made to be. And then Robin's going to come out, and he has a couple of announcements for us, and he's going to set up cards and offering. Thank you, guys.
Now, what can I use? Ha! Get it!
Be the change you wanna see. Build the world that you need. In a wire, stick in a stone. Make a world to
we have a visualization.
Break the rules just because you do. You defy the odds, bring the stars in.
In the neighborhood.
Wait, no, I'm telling you, I don't see any way to rebuild that bridge.
Yeah, okay, well, not with that attitude.
You may want to come and see this.
Sounds like another sky flinger attack.
Stay low. Stay back.
Well, I'll be Peanut's uncle.
Oh, wow.
Is that?
It's June.
She did it. She's actually done it.
Oh, would you look at that.
So, what's all this about?
It's time to bring Wonderland back to life.